perfect, still growing in grace, but there is serious, this serious passage deals with that. So before I start, I want to go ahead and pray for our time. Father, pray for your help, Lord, even now. Lord, I do pray that you would, God, give much grace to clearly communicate your truth, God, in a simple fashion. Let this message be useful. Lord, I pray you would give much help, Lord, not only to me, but to your people. Lord, I pray that you would bring conviction, Lord, that those who are here this present moment, Lord, those who are dealing with this particular sin, God, I pray that you would deal with their heart. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the warnings and the reason why Jesus brings this up, Lord. Lord, I do pray for more of your grace and help. You know how much help I need, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let us read our passage in Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. You have heard that it was said you should not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. I want to look at three points as we walk through this passage here. First, the commandment wrongly obeyed in verse 27. Second, the commandment rightly taught in verse 28. And the commandment seriously obeyed in verse 29 through 30. First point, the command wrongly obeyed. You have heard, verse 27 says, you have heard it was said you should not commit adultery. And what has been covered so far by Pastor Corey and Phil, the last two messages, is that Jesus is correcting the understanding of the religious leaders who were compromising God's commands. And this is what was happening in the time of Jesus. You had the religious leaders who were drawing near with their lips, but their heart was far away from God. In vain they were worshiping God and teaching the doctrines of men. And Jesus makes it clear that those who they heard said, you should not commit adultery, were those who didn't obey the command from the heart. Did not practice what they preach. Notice the words of our Lord Jesus when he's addressing the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 1 through 3. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do not observe whatever they tell you, but do and observe whatever they tell you, but do not do the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. And different parts of the gospel of Matthew, you're going to hear Jesus confronting the religious leaders in his time. For example, you see Jesus expose the Pharisees and the failure of obeying and teaching the fifth commandment. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus addresses them about this. He answered them, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely be put to death. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father for the sake of your tradition. You have made void the word of God. And this was going on in the life of the people of Israel, the Jews. They had the teachers and religious leaders misleading the people by their teaching, in which they were... And also something that they focused on more, which was external righteousness. They wanted to appear good before men. And there seems to be biblical examples of this in the Old Testament of leaders who came and taught the people of Israel. People who in the past in the Old Testament would mislead the people by their teaching and their conduct. Notice some Old Testament examples in Jeremiah's time. It talks about in Jeremiah chapter 8, how can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes had made it into a lie. In the times of Hosea, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. You have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And in the time of Malachi, chapter 2, 7 through 9, for the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside the way, you have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despise a base before all the people. And as much as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. And even in the days of Isaiah, who was prophesying about the Pharisees and scribes in Jesus' time. You remember this verse in Matthew 15, 7 through 9? You hypocrites, what did Isaiah prophesy of you? When he said, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from you. The heart is far from me. The Lord says. And the heart, not only is God concerned about outward conduct, but he's also concerned about the heart, the inside. And there's a huge contrast with Jesus in this scene here, exposing the religious leaders at his time. Going to our next point, the commandment rightly taught in verse 28. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Notice the authority of Jesus Christ here. But I say to you, this is the authoritative words of Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, comes into the scene where people were being weighed down with the weight of sin and extra commands that the Pharisees were adding. And he comes, the true teacher, the true shepherd, and says this to his disciples, but I say to you, notice the personal pronoun there, but I say to you, this exhortation and warning is given to his disciples about not having lustful intent. So he doesn't single them out or separate his disciples. He says, well, Peter, you come over here, or John, the apostle of love, you come over here. But this is for all his disciples. He's speaking to them specifically that I say to you. And if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then these words, this exhortation is for you. We're called to take heed to these words from the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be thinking about anyone else that comes to mind. I think this person needs to hear this, or that person needs to hear this. Whoever you are, if you're a disciple of Christ, whether you be a teacher, whether you be an elder, whether you be an elder candidate, whether you be a teenager, whether you be whoever you are, this word from God, from Jesus Christ, is to you. And he says, but I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And what is this looking with lustful intent that Jesus is addressing? It is the desire to long for, to lust. It is the desire for another person's wife or someone you're not married to. This is what lustful intent is. To have unpure thoughts towards another person. And what is adultery? It is to have sexual relations with someone that you're not married to, or someone else's wife. This is adultery. Interesting that having lustful intent is the breaking of the 10th commandment, which is you shall not covet. Why do I say that? Because the Greek word used for lustful intent is a word for covet, epithymeo. And you find that word that Jesus is using for lustful intent And the same word that the Apostle Paul uses for covet in Romans 13, verse 9. He says this, "For the commandment you should not commit adultery, you should not murder, you should not steal, you should not epithemeo, covet." Any other commandment are summed up in this word, you should not love your neighbor as yourself. And you also find this word in the Greek Septuagint, which is the Old Testament written in Greek. You find that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Notice the words in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not epithemeo your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is what the Lord is teaching here. You should not lust, you should not covet for someone else, to look upon someone's wife and to try to possess them in your heart with the most ugliest sins. You should not desire your neighbor's wife in your heart. It's what the Lord is teaching here. And one obvious biblical example of this is King David. He's usually the one that people go to, and I'm going to him. Obviously, in 2 Samuel, in chapter 11, 1 through 4, you have him obviously breaking the seventh commandment when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But the moment he saw the woman from the rooftop, he saw, he coveted, he desired, he longed for. And the Lord, and we know that this sin began in the heart. It was against God. He compromised there. And then came the outcome, which was the physical act of adultery, which was the physical act of breaking the seventh commandment. Observe the declaration that Jesus makes here. He says that everyone who looks upon a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This declaration by Christ, you already committed adultery. The person who look with lust has committed adultery. He is guilty of that sin in his heart before the Lord. Now, there is a difference. It is worse to commit the physical act of adultery, but the physical act is just the outcome of the lustful intention of the heart. In God's eyes, you are already guilty of this sin. God is concerned about the heart, brethren. So this exposes the religious leaders who were trying to appear righteous before the people in Jesus' time. Jesus describes them. They want to appear righteous, but they are full of dead men's bones, hypocrisy, lawlessness, full of greed and self-indulgence. And their heart was far from God. So they did teach you should not commit adultery, but they committed the sin in their heart. And so easily all of us are prone to do it as well. Now notice my last point here, the command seriously obeyed. Notice the words of Jesus in verse 29 and 30. He says this, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." In verse 30, he says this, "And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell." Notice the immediate serious response that Jesus gives. If your right hand causes you to sin, throw it away. Now, just real quick, this is not something that Jesus means literally. He's making exaggerating statements to hit on a point, saying this, if anything, whatever is causing you to stumble, whatever is causing you to stumble to sin, he says, take it out, tear it out, throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than have your whole body and go to hell. So it's an immediate response. So anything that will cause you to sin. Now, if you have an NASB or or an LSB translation, the word for sin there is to stumble. So if your eye or your hand causes you to stumble, throw it away. And this is the call for those who desire to be a disciple who follow Jesus. You're called to deny yourself, to take sin serious, to take it real serious, to pick up your cross and to die to yourself. This is what our Lord is telling us, that this sin is so serious that it must take an immediate, extreme response. And if you don't deal with this sin, if there's no tearing out, no cutting off, no throwing it away, the results of this sin is devastating, brethren. The first primary reason why we want to take this sin so seriously is because this sin's against God. It's committing this inward lustful desire towards anyone, or having impure thoughts, or engaging in watching pornography reveals your lack of love to God and your lack of love to your neighbor. When we don't honor Christ in the heart and the mind, we are easily able to break the first commandment: you shall love God with all your heart, soul, mind. As I was hearing Vodi Bakum say this, he says, ultimately, the adultery of the heart is ultimately violation of the first commandment, not loving God and not being satisfied with God. When you begin to lust with impure thoughts towards someone that's someone else's wife or someone that's not married, it's just a lack of your love to God. You're not satisfied with God, and therefore you seek out other pleasures, temporal pleasures. But the consequences of doing that, the outcome of that, and also having that in your heart is devastating. Brother, we want to have the same attitude of Joseph, who was being seduced by Potiphar's wife. What did he say in Genesis 39, verse 9? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? For it is better that you lose one of your members than go to hell, brethren, with your whole body. So it is better to get rid of this sin or anything that's causing you to stumble. We want to be like that person who didn't take the advice of... We don't want to be like that person who didn't take his advice of his instruction in Proverbs chapter 5, which we read. Notice the words in Proverbs chapter 5, 9 through 14. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest the strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin and assembled. I am in the brink of utter ruin in the assembly of the congregation. And here's a question that I have for everyone here. What are some things in your life that are causing you to stumble? What are some practical things in your life that are hindering you, causing you to stumble? And I can name some things. Is it your phone? The things that pop up on your phone that you do not quickly respond to by putting it away. It can be many things, certain movies you watch, it can be certain website you're visiting, or it can be pornography, or any relationships that you're having with individuals that's not proper. Something to think about. That can be a stumbling in your life and bring much devastation. Notice the consequences of not dealing with this sin. Notice the consequence of not dealing with this sin. Jesus gives a strict warning here. The not dealing with this sin, if you're just coasting and you're sitting here this afternoon, there's great consequences. If you're not putting things in, if you're aware of these things in your life and you begin to think about these things and you're watching things you're not ought to watch and you're not seeing, you're not seeking the Lord, or you're not confessing to the Lord, you're not fighting at all, there's no victory at all in your life. You're just coasting, flipping about sexual sin, pornography, or any particular thing you're putting before your eyes. If there's no fight at all, the result for you, Jesus warns, is hell. This is the result. If you're not willing to forsake that sin, the only thing here that Jesus warns here is hell. A lot of people talk about fear John the Baptist preaching, but I would say fear Jesus preaching here. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, he mentions hell 5 times. He's just relentless. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, that Corey preached on, whoever has anger in their heart will be liable to the hell of fire. Verse 29 in our passage, and 30, you'll be thrown into hell. Your whole body will go into hell. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. That's referring to the punishment of God, the wrath of God. Matthew 7, verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I mean, Jesus is not playing about this particular sin. He's not playing about not getting rid of this sin. The consequences are very devastating, and it deserves the wrath of God. Notice who is the one warning about this, having the one who's warning and giving the exhortation, not having lustful intent in the heart. It's Jesus, the second person of the triune God, and he's the one that's going to be sending those who rebel against him, who don't get rid of this sin, straight to hell. So if anyone's here, you're totally realizing your loss. No victory at all in your life concerning purity, concerning these things that you're watching. There's no victory at all. Then I warn you as Jesus warned. Now, we just don't want to stop here and talk about tearing away of the eye and cutting off of the foot. But there is a way of viewing this. There is the negative view of lusting, but there's also a positive view. What I mean by that is that for the believer, how can we get such a desire to do such a heart check and be dealing with sin so seriously? As Pastor Corey mentioned last week, it's the Spirit of God working in the heart. It's the promise of Ezekiel. If you're a disciple of Christ, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's because he has given you a new heart. He has given you his Spirit. You are able to put death. You're able to put death the deeds of the flesh. You're able to fight against sin. You can turn your desire towards that sin into a desire for the things of God because you're able. If I can borrow a title from a book, you can be delivered by desire. By God's grace and help, you can have victory over the impure thoughts. One of the motivating truths of putting sin to death, or putting away or laying aside sin is in your life, is the essential truth of putting on the new man who has been created in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Is that God has saved you, giving you his Spirit, your new creation, and you're called to put away these things. You're able to do that by his help because he made you alive. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24, to put on your old self, which belong to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And verse 23, and to put on and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Romans 13, 12 through 14, it says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And one last passage, Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And these you once walked. For the believer, you once walked in those things, enslaved by those in things, but God, by his mercy, has made you alive in Jesus Christ, set you free from the power of sin, and you're able to have that desire because he has given you his spirit to desire the things of God, to love him, to desire him more than pornography, more than these things that will lead you to sin against the God who loves you. And this should cause you to love God and put away these things and not have these things in your life. So because of God's grace and his spirit in your life, you're able to overcome these things. So my encouragement to you believers that you're able to overcome these things, if you're dealing with these things, even now, whatever sexual sin you're dealing with, if you're a believer and you love the Lord, I would encourage you to seek out Pastor Corey, Pastor Phil. They can, if you're dealing with these things, they're a struggle in your life, then reach out to them. Reach out to some of the brothers who can help you in this area. Confess your sins ultimately to the Lord. Seek after him, but seek after help. And this goes for the sisters too. If you're dealing with this particular sin in your life, then seek out some other sisters to help you, encourage you in this. Because this is not only prevalent for men, but it's also prevalent for women too. And for those, again, those who have no fight at all, you just love this sin, then there is a warning of Jesus. The only place for you is eternal hell forever. And I plead with you, my friends, if you're that person, then the one that you should be feared is the one that you should run to and receive mercy and grace from him, forgiveness of sins, and let him give you a new heart. So as I come to a close, if there's anyone who's dealing with this sin in their life, reach out. If you're here, you're convicted of your sins and your loss, I would just encourage you to reach out to Pastor Corey or Phil. Or I'll be willing to talk to you and pray for you. So if there's a spiritual need that we can help you with, we'll be willing to talk with you. But let me go ahead and end and close in prayer. Father, Lord, I just pray that you would bless this word. And Lord, I pray that things that were not said, that were not biblical, not in line with your character and with your word, I pray that it would just fall away, Lord. I pray that, Lord, those who are sitting here, God, Lord, you know them. Lord, I pray that you would do a work of conviction in their hearts for the purpose of them running to you, Lord. For them running to you and receiving mercy and grace in Jesus, God. You desire to deliver them from their sins, God. You desire for them to come to you and worship you alone and be satisfied in you, Lord, and not in these fleeting pleasures, God. So please work, Lord. I pray you would help the brothers and sisters. Lord, the truths that were, Lord, helpful for them, Lord, I pray you would use it and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.